Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Where do these kids pick up this stuff?
Children are the future. Today belongs to me.
Teenagers will always gravitate to the oldest person they can find who will take them seriously and treat them with dignity and respect.
I'm Jim Burns. Kids today are truly benefiting from having parents who are actively involved in their lives. That's good news for them as well as for their parents. However, sometimes we parents feel as though we really don't understand everything that our kids are going through. Well, that's a real source of frustration for many of us parents. In fact, it leads some of us to wonder if it's even possible to actually understand teenagers and preteens at all. Well, if that describes your situation, I'm glad you tuned in today to Homeward. During the next half hour, I'll be joined here in studio by my good friend, Wayne Rice. Wayne is the creator of the Understanding Your Teenager seminars and one of the great authorities in America on this subject. Today, we will do our best to help you answer the question, is it possible to understand your teenager? And I think it is. So stay with us. Homeward starts right now.
From the studios of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Homeward has been involved in youth and family ministry since 1985, and of course, Azusa Pacific University has history going back to 1899. Today here on the program, we're going to talk about the answer to the question, is it possible to understand your teenager? It's a conversation we're kind of following up on last week's discussions with Doug Fields and talking with Wayne Rice, who is one of the gurus, as it were, in the youth and family ministry history, and of course part of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family, and has been for many, many years as well. This is a great conversation, and if you've tearing your hair out because of the kids in your world, you will not want to miss a minute of this discussion. Let's get into part one right now. Here is Dr. Jim Burns on Homeward.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. A very special day today. Wayne Rice, one of my friends, heroes, mentors. I've learned so much about life and parenting. And we're going to talk about, is it possible to understand your teenager? Wayne is actually the co-founder of a great organization called Youth Specialties. He's the founder and director of an organization called Understanding Your Teenager. And now, Understanding Your Teenager seminars are under the banner of Homeward. He's a noted author, speaker, educator. He's married to a wonderful wife, married way above himself. I only say that to somebody I know so well, named Marcy. And they have three grown children. Wayne, welcome to our program.
Well, thanks, Jim. It's great to be back.
Well, you're kind of a veteran for us, and anytime I can get you to come in. We're going to talk today about, is it possible to understand your teenager? I would say that even as a dad who's just kind of moving through that, I have a 19-year-old, but it's almost an oxymoron. Can you really understand your teenager? Because, you know, what happens? Do they get weird at about 13? I mean, what is the deal?
Well, you know, I think all of us have been there. You know, we all went through the same change. And you were a teenager, I was a teenager, and when our kids, but still, as a parent, and sometimes as adults, we don't realize all the changes that take place when kids hit adolescence. But it is possible. I really do believe it's possible for parents to understand teenagers. And that's why we do these Understanding Your Teenager seminars.
Right. You know, it's funny because I will, you know, tell people that we do Understanding Your Teenager seminars, and they actually laugh because they go, is it possible to understand them? And yet what you're saying is it really is possible to at least gain some understanding, and it is possible to actually sort of get along with your kid through this, you know, very interesting time of moving from dependence to independence.
Yeah, and you know, you can understand teenagers without necessarily having to immerse yourself in their culture. You know, obviously, there's a lot that's going on in adolescent culture, the language that the kids speak, the music that they listen to, and a lot of the technology that they seem to be so proficient at. Sometimes we think that understanding your teenager has a lot to do with all of that, and it really doesn't, but it's understanding really what's going on in the lives of the kids, why they act the way they do, and then how to respond in appropriate and positive ways.
Hey, that's a great question. I mean, why do they act the way they do? I mean, a lot of parents, and I think kids say this about their parents, you know, you don't understand me. I mean, why do parents have such a hard time understanding kids?
Well, part of it is just we forget. You know, we forget what it was like to be a teenager. I always tell parents, and I tell youth workers and anyone who wants to understand teenagers, the first key to it is refreshing your memory. And that's why one of the reasons why back in my office, I have a picture of myself when I was in the eighth grade hanging on the office wall. In fact, it's right in front of my desk, and it just reminds me that I was a junior high kid. And the reason for that is I work with a junior high group right now. I'm a volunteer adult. Because junior high kids need to be around old people, so that's why I'm there.
Well, you know what? What's funny is, you know, they think 21-year-olds are old. That's what's amazing to me. My kids will talk about a teacher when they were in junior high. They'd talk about a teacher, and they'd say, you know, this old person. I'd say, well, how old are they? And they'd say, well, 23 and 25. So it's a matter of perspective.
But, well, yeah, it really is. And but you know what? I've always believed, this is one of my favorite quotes from an old friend, Steve Glenn, who said that teenagers, left to their own devices, will always gravitate to the oldest person they can find, who will take them seriously and treat them with dignity and respect. And that's what keeps me going. That keeps me hanging out with junior high kids or any age young people, because I know that if you treat them respectfully, and I don't understand all the little details of what goes on in their culture, but I understand them. I understand what's going on in their lives. You know, their kids are not that different. They're asking the same fundamental questions that we asked when we were their age. Who am I? You know, what am I going to be? And does anybody like me? And all those questions of identity, purpose, meaning. And I understand that. And I try to listen well to what's going on in their lives. And then when you speak, they listen and they realize here's somebody that understands.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes parents, as I've heard you say, don't really take time to listen because they kind of think they know what they're doing. And yet, what you're saying is that we don't understand sometimes because we simply don't listen. We just talk, but we don't listen.
Right. We talk. We don't take the time to remember. We don't take the time to do our homework. And that includes being a good listener, of course. Right. You know, we have to, if we're going to understand what's going on in their lives, then we need to take time to do a little due diligence.
Well, don't you think sometimes parents make some decisions harshly because it's scaring them like crazy because they remember what they were like? I mean, they were in junior high once and they were, you know, terrors, and so they're afraid their kids are going to become those terrors, or they remember what they did in high school. Maybe they were sexually promiscuous. Maybe they experimented with drugs. They're absolutely scared that their kids are going to do that too.
Well, that can be an asset for parents. It doesn't have to be something that just scares us away. We can understand even better then if we remember what was going on at that time to be able to help our kids avoid a lot of the things, some of the pitfalls that we fell into when we were that age.
Now, as we become kind of students of the culture, I mean, one of the things we say here in Homeward all the time, you'd say the same thing, that we do have to become students of the culture. We don't have to act like the kids, but we do want to understand what they're like. It seems to me that we have to understand the changing world of today's teenager. How does a parent do that, and what would be some of the changing world aspects of today's teenager?
Well, you know, we talk about this seminar in our Understanding Your Teenager seminars, just about how the world has changed. We don't go into all the details. Like I say, I don't think it's important for us to understand all the little nuances of youth culture in order to understand kids. But we have to pay attention to what's going on in our world today. For example, that our kids are being exposed to a lot of information that we were never exposed to at such a young age. I mean, our kids are really, because they're plugged in, because of technology, because of the way they communicate, it's a different world out there. They're growing up in a world that basically does not teach or affirm any one particular value system, which is very different from when we were growing up, at least when I was growing up. Sure. I don't know about you, but the old Andy Griffith TV show when I was a kid was a Sunday school lesson. You know, it seemed like we were all on the same page, and today it's not. So, you know, you just look at things like that. I mean, and you pay attention, you watch what's going on in the world, and what we have to do then is respond appropriately, and that often is something that parents don't realize, that, you know, it's easy to complain. It's easy to look at what's going on in the world and just feel badly about it and get discouraged by it or fear it. But what we try to encourage parents to do, and what I encourage parents to do, is to respond appropriately. Be proactive. Take action. What it means is we have to be a lot clearer than, for example, about values. Teaching our kids what's right, what's wrong, making sure that when they're being exposed to all this junk out there, that they can separate what's good from what's bad. Nobody else is telling them that. The parents have to be the ones to do that. And that's understanding teenage, understanding that they need that. And they want that from us. They really do.
That's what's fascinating. I think they really do. Listen, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to ask you about some principles for effective parenting that I think are absolutely life-changing. Roger, I'd like you to tell us about the Understanding Your Teenager seminar, as well as the Generation to Generation seminar as well. You know, at Homeward, and a lot of people don't know this, they think we do radio. Well, we have the privilege to be in front of a lot of people every day on radio, but we also have the privilege to be in over 100 churches every year, and we're going to see that continue to grow with a seminar that Wayne wrote, but some of the finest speakers in the country, in my opinion. He's written a brand new one called Generation to Generation, and you can talk about that, building a legacy of faith, and even some of the other things that we do. So great program today, and when we come back, we're going to talk about principles for effective parenting that really are some of the principles that I live by because I've learned them in many ways from Wayne. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Burns. We're with Wayne Rice. Don't go away. A lot more to come on Homeward.
The seminars, by the way, if you go to homeward.com and you hit the seminars tab, you can read about all of them. But the two we're spotlighting on today's edition of the program, as Jim just mentioned, are Generation to Generation and Understanding Your Teenager. And especially Generation to Generation right now, that is so key for us as parents that we create kind of an atmosphere of a sticky faith that our kids will actually take with them when they go into the college years and beyond. If you want more information about how you can attend one of the Homeward seminars or how you can actually even bring one to your church, go to homeward.com or just call us at 800-397-9725.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Order! Order in the court!
Your Honor, the defendant is guilty and should receive the maximum sentence.
But Tina, I'm your sister! And besides, all I did was forget to turn in my math homework.
Does the defense have a statement before sentencing?
Yes, Your Honor. Even though the defendant is my daughter, I have to agree with the prosecution. Throw the book at her.
Ha! Mom!
Heather Davis, the court finds you guilty and sentences you to be scorned by your sister and not trusted by your parents forever!
Daddy, no!
Heather? Heather?
Heather? Heather, what? Wake up. Huh? You're dreaming.
Dad?
Are you okay? Now, that might have been a bit over the top, but a lot of kids actually feel that way. Well, there's a difference between punishment and discipline, and the difference is control. Rules without relationship lead to rebellion, which is why you want to read my new tip sheet called Let the Punishment Fit the Crime. And you can download a free copy from our website at homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. I'm smiling today, Roger, because we have Wayne Rice in the room. Well, I just smile when Wayne's around. Many people don't realize not only was he the co-founder of Youth Specialties, he was the founder and director of Understanding Your Teenager Ministries, but also he leads our Understanding Your Teenager seminars and so many other great things. But he, in 1974, his group was the Country Music Group of the Year. When we had him on once, we played the banjo, you know, in and out. We may have to pull that out. I just saw a video with Wayne with Johnny Cash. So this is, you know, this is a big deal to have him in, and he hasn't brought his banjo. You didn't bring your banjo.
No.
Well, too bad. We're going to have to have you come in here and give our staff a banjo
lucky?
Lesson.
Yes.
No, I loved that. I used to remember us doing some traveling, and, you know, you'd either bring out the guitar or the banjo in there. You'd be, you know, strumming away. I'm not able to do that. Listen, we're going to talk, though, more about principles for effective parenting. Roger's laughing, saying, get on with this. You know, Wayne, there are just some basic principles. It was that great theologian, who I call theologian, Vince Lombardi, the coach of the Green Bay Packers, of course I'm teasing, who said when you strayed away from the basics, you've gone a long ways toward defeat. But a lot of times with teenagers, my experience is parents get tired. They get weary and they kind of drop their guard. They would never do this when the kids are younger. But I think there's some parenting principles that I'd love for you to kind of work through that I know you teach in the Understanding Your Teenager seminars, as well as in some of the books that you've written. And the first one says, rules without relationships lead to rebellion. Talk about that.
Well, this is a very simple principle, and yet it's one that requires the most work. I really do. And most of us know what to do. It's always just putting it into practice, and that's why we repeat these things over and over, and we come up with these clever principles to kind of so that, you know, they're kind of stuck in our heads, and we can remind ourselves of them over and over again. But rules without relationships lead to rebellion is a great reminder that unless we spend time with our kids and we make deposits into their emotional bank accounts and build a good relationship with our kids, stay connected with our kids, our ability to discipline them, to instruct them, to guide them, to give them the direction that they need is seriously diminished. And we all know this is true. I mean, kids will always do better, for example, in school for a teacher that they like. And they'll work hard for them. And likewise, when kids have a great relationship with their folks, then it becomes so much easier for us to make demands on them or to give them the kind of guidance and direction that they're actually going to live by. But without it, without the relationship, we're in trouble.
You know, I had this experience not too long ago with my daughter, Rebecca. All right, I'll use her as a guinea pig. But we get in the car, and this is how I blew it. We get in the car, and I've got a good relationship with Rebecca, but I said, Rebecca, I can't believe that you did so poorly with this particular, you know, grade situation. I just blasted her on the grades. It was all true.
Yeah.
I felt that. Well, I watched her clam up. Now we're going to lunch, and I went, hey, you need to work on, what does Rebecca love to do? She loves to hang out and just talk. So I immediately quieted down on the school thing. Now, I wanted to talk about it eventually, but so we end up talking about snowboarding and boys and clothes and all kinds of stuff that aren't, you know, I like all that stuff. Well, you know, sort of like that stuff, but I just let her talk. We talked for an hour. Never brought it up again. We get in the car, go back. I had opened her spirit back up by just hanging out with her. We get out of the car and she goes, hey, Dad, let me tell you about what I'm going to do for, you know, this grade that I didn't do so well. I'm going to retake the class. I'm going to, you know, pick it up. I'm going to do this and that. And I went, wow, why didn't I do that in the first place? Because I closed her spirit because she wanted relationship with Dad more than what I thought. I needed to tell her. Sometimes we have to discipline, but it was a great learning experience. You've got another one. I love this one. Don't handicap your kids by making life too easy for them. That's a great comment.
Well, it's true. We do handicap our kids sometimes, and it's by making life too easy for them. And we do it in a lot of different ways. And this is one of the hardest for parents because we love our kids and we want to make life easy for them. I mean, that's always a parental instinct. We want to protect them. We want to make sure they're safe. We want to make sure they have everything that they need. Part of that is motivated by love, but good parents recognize that there's a point at which we hurt our kids and we handicap them. For example, when we just give them too much, kids today are overindulged. Yeah. And that's unfortunately the way parents show their love is by just giving kids so much that they begin to think, hey, life is easy, you know, and nowadays, a lot of kids, when they get older, they never realize what it takes, you know, the kind of discipline that it takes to connect the dots and realize that not everything just gets handed to them on a silver platter.
No, it actually can do some great damage. I had somebody say to me, I don't understand why, you know, Tony isn't getting good grades. I mean, we do everything for him. Well, that's why he's not getting good grades, because you do everything for him, and he expects the teacher to, you know, to do the same kind of thing. We're talking with Wayne Rice today. We're talking about, is it possible to understand your teenager? Wayne is an authority in this area, one of the authorities in the world, and what a privilege to have him with us. While I've got you, I got to ask about another effective parenting principle. You say, catch your teenager in the act of doing something good. That's hard to do sometimes. They're teenagers.
Well, that's true. And the problem is, of course, that they never do anything exactly the way we want them to do it.
Right.
So it's hard to affirm mediocrity because we think that's just going to encourage mediocrity. But I always tell parents, you know, look for it, especially character traits that kids are doing well. For example, if they just do anything that's kind, anything that's thoughtful, anything that shows courage. And sometimes I think the problem is that as parents, we think we shouldn't have to do that because kids should be doing that anyway. So we shouldn't have to point it out. But that's really a big parenting fallacy there. Yeah. We have to talk about it. We have to let our kids know that we notice when they're doing well.
Right. I think that really then motivates them to do well more often.
Well, it encourages that kind of behavior. It also builds their self-esteem.
Right.
And also it has to do with that relationship that we were talking about earlier, because everybody likes to to be around your fans. I do. Yeah. Oh, I like to be around people who like me.
Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah. And yet we oftentimes think that we're going to motivate our kids by just only shaming them or making them or nagging at them. And it just, you know, pretty much simply doesn't work. I've tried and it, I can tell you from firsthand it doesn't work.
Isn't it interesting that in 1 Thessalonians, you know, Paul compares his own ministry with that of a father. Mm. And the first word that he uses when he says, this is what fathers do, the first word he uses is encouragement. Mm. He says, fathers encourage. And then the urging comes later, but the encouraging comes first.
That's a great concept, Wayne. You say break the no-talk rule. What are you talking about there?
The no-talk rule is one that I think many of us grew up in homes where parents were just reluctant to talk about certain things. For example, talking about sex. That was never modeled for me by my parents, having good, healthy, positive conversations around the home about sexual behavior. It was a taboo subject. It was in my church. It was at school. It was everywhere. It was on TV. It was a taboo subject. No, Ozzie and Harriet slept in twin beds when I was growing up, and Ozzie wore a tie to bed. But it was a different world back in those days. But today, it's out in the open, and sometimes it's hard for us to break that no talk rule. Right. Before it breaks our family, because if we're silent about it and if we don't have those conversations. And so what we try to do at our seminars is just give parents some tools for doing that. And of course, the first thing is just to encourage them to start early with their kids and begin to have positive conversations when they're young, and then when they're older, it won't be so difficult.
Yeah, well, this is great. You know, nobody ever sent us to parenting school. You're sending us to parenting school right now. This is great input. I've got to ask you to come back because we've got more to talk about next time. And, you know, this Understanding Your Teenager seminar is a great seminar. The Generation to Generation seminar is wonderful. Building Morals and Values. Homeward does some wonderful seminars. And I am proud to say that I'm not always speaking to all of them, but it's people like Wayne Rice and other great speakers. But this is the kind of information that you are going to get at a seminar. You know what? I would suggest that you go to our website right now, or you call our 866-500-PARENT number and find out information. You know, we may be in your area, and it may not be at your church, or maybe a group of churches can come together and bring these people out. You may have a life-changing experience, and I highly recommend that many of our listeners need to be in this year. It can change your parenting. It's amazing what education and equipping and encouraging can do, and that's exactly what this seminar does. That's the kind of day we've had here on Homeward. It's been a great day.
It really has been, and we don't talk about the seminars nearly as much as we should, but this is a good time of year for us to be discussing the seminars that Homeward does provide for parents, for families, for churches. Of course, there's a cost involved in putting them together, but today we've been talking about the Generation to Generation seminar, which is a way for parents and grandparents to learn more effective methods for sharing faith and passing it along to kids and grandkids, and also the Understanding Your Teenager seminar. If you are interested in bringing one of those to your church, now's a great time to get that ball rolling so you could put one together maybe for next spring. Go ahead and give us a call at 800-397-9725 or just go online. You'll find all the information you need about the Homeward Parenting Seminars at homeward.com.
Well, thanks, Roger, and I do hope that you will look into the Understanding Your Teenager seminar. I just actually sat in on part of one. And it was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I'm taking notes like crazy and saying, boy, this is great stuff. We get to offer this to people, you know, every week someplace in the United States.
Yes.
Great, great program. Had 1,000 people at the Understanding Your Teenager event in Sacramento at Bayside Church, a great church. Ray Johnson's the pastor there.
That's awesome.
1,000 people. I mean, sometimes you might have 30.
Right.
So this was pretty amazing to be a part of that event. Anyway, I do believe that understanding your teenager is possible. But it does not mean that you have to identify with him or her. That's an important distinction. I'm concerned that too many parents are trying to relate to their kids in ways that they really don't help their relationship. I mean, your kids don't need you to be their friends, your parent. They already think you're too old. You're not a part of their peer group. So be their parent and be the adult in the relationship. Two things that Wayne talked about earlier. Rules without relationship leads to rebellion. Don't just order your kids around and expect them to automatically follow your rules. You've got to get involved in their life. Spend time with them. I've learned that through the youth ministry world, that sometimes a relationship with them, it's better to take the lecture aside and literally go have some ice cream with them and just hang out with them. Secondly is choose your battles wisely with your kids. If you have teens or preteens in your home, you probably could have a reason to be mad at them 24/7, 365. But you know what? You don't have to be, and you're going to have to choose your battles wisely because there could always be a battle with a kid. Two great thoughts as we close today. Thank you so much for being with us today. Great to have a conversation with Wayne Rice on Understanding Your Teenager. We'll continue this discussion next time on our program, so I hope you'll tune in for that as well. Till then, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for listening today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.